eyes. Amen. It's one voice. So everybody, we're just going to make a huge praise team today. You don't need a microphone. All you need to bring is just your voice, your worship.
Thank you. of the hearty, amen.
While you're standing, I'm going to give God a hand clap. I heard a hand clap. I just want to hand clap in Jesus just a little louder. And the song said, I'm going to sing just a little louder. Not for any other, but for Jesus. I wonder if somebody can say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm tired of people getting there. Are you too tired to say thank you, Jesus?
Hallelujah.
I just want to give honor to God. While you're standing, we'll just read our scripture. And so I don't have to go back and forth with glasses. I'm just going to read on the board with you. Rather than have you sit and stand, we'll read our responsive reading. It's going to come from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 13. If you want to get it yourself, you can get it, or you can read it on the board. Nevertheless, we're going to start, if that's all right. All right, let's read it together with our outside voice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth,
And that every tongue confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord,
to the glory of God the Father.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Last verse. For it is God which worketh in you, both to do and will of his own good pleasure. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said with an outside voice,
amen.
The word of the Lord is blessed already. That's all right. We'll get it right next time. You may be seated. I just want to give honor to God today. I want to just thank him for his goodness, his mercy, his kindness. I want to give honor to our pastor and our assistant pastor. I just honor God for what they are doing. I gotta tell you, I'm humbled by this opportunity. I was in a church with our pastor, and I'm telling you, and there's nothing wrong, any pastor can do it the way they wanna do it. But I heard the ministers and the elders, if I was lucky, once or maybe twice a year, and I thank God that he could have taken on that personality and said, when I get mine, I'm not letting anybody else get in there. And the only time I heard from the other elders, and I'm not knocking, I'm just saying it's just different. The only time I heard is in their absence, in the pastor's absence. I never seen the pastor sit and hear from the ministers. I never seen that except maybe a conference or something. And I think there's something to be said about that, the humbleness of our pastor and our assistant pastor. I mean, we all have issues and personality problems and different things, but if you line up whatever you think of their negatives and you line it next to their positives, you gotta throw the negatives away. Every time.
Amen.
You know, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, certain things Ella Camp can say and do that I can't get away with because I'm not going to be there for you at 3 a.m. like they are. You know, I'm not the one that's going to be in the hospital. Not because I don't want to, I just can't. But they're there for us time in and time out. Amen. And I just thank God for it. And I thank God for all of the elders and all of you. I love the Agape Church family. And I appreciate everyone in the building. I appreciate the newcomers. I just thank God for you. Nevertheless, I want to get to the word. I don't know if some of you were here. Most of you were not here on our very first service. And my mind went back to that first service, not the inaugural service, because that wasn't really our first service. Our first service, Minister Simon spoke. And all I can remember from that service was, can we invite Jesus to his own birthday party? Can we invite him in? And we said we came from a past that we laughed at one another in service, and we snickered at people because they sang with a little shriveling in their voice, or because they cracked a note, or when they shouted, we laughed, not us per se, but that was the environment that we were in. And we said, we're not going to do that. We're gonna worship him in spirit and in truth, as the pastor said. And it was a very powerful message for me, because I didn't really have an identity in Christ. Because of all of the scrutiny and the criticism, I am a shy person by nature, so I didn't want to be criticized. So I sat back and I just listened and I took in, and I thought, man, when we get here, I wonder if it's going to be the same. Well, it's not the same. Amen. I'm able to raise my hands. I'm able to shout if I want to. No one's going to make fun of me. And I'm a big guy. If I get around and do a little dance, no one's going to laugh at me except all the Mackie men. That's about it. But that's all right. You know, I feel that freedom here. You know, so I just thank God for that. And today, I just want to talk about, I want to bring Jesus back. This is an apostolic message. I don't know if you realize, but we're in what we call oneness. We believe there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is a message all about Jesus, nobody else. Today, I just thought, if I had one shot and they said, you're not going to speak the rest of the year, I wanted it to be about Jesus. I wanted it to be pleasing in his ears first. What you think is secondary. I do care what you think, but I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Right. So I thought about, there's some things, and I gotta go some places just to prove a point. There's some things in Scripture that sometimes, not understanding, I sit and I ponder on it. I'm one of those that I'll ponder on Scripture for weeks before I really get it. So there's things that I don't understand, so I go through and I read and I go back and I read. But I just wanted to, today I just wanted to know, what is it about the name? What is it about the name of Jesus? What is it? Why is it so important that as we read up here, it said, I got to go to my Bible because I got to go back and forth and I don't want to tire her out. But what is it about the name of Jesus? I don't understand the big issue. What is the big issue with his name? Either for it or against it. Philippians 4, 2, and I'm going to go to 6 here, I believe. You know, if we learn that Christ didn't think, first of all, you got to prove that Christ is God, right? I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here today, is that right? Christ is God. That should be no problem here, right? Because easily it said, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, there was somebody else trying to be equal with God, and that didn't go over too well for him, did it? I mean, he thought he saw himself right equal with God. God didn't like that. So if God didn't like that, then if someone else came and said, I'm going to be equal with God, don't you think he would have had a problem with that? I mean, don't you think the Scripture would have some kind of way found Jesus out to be a liar? But the Scripture, and the thing is, he didn't write one word of himself. This is someone writing about him. This is Paul writing about him. So he said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what I like here is he said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So I'm wondering, what is it about that name that's so important? What is it? I'm trying to figure it out. Why is that name so important that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess? I'm trying to figure things out. But here's my problem. If you go to John 9. No, go to Acts, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. And you don't have to go there. You can go on the board if you choose. But I just want to read this here. And when you get that, okay, you're on there. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you. Next verse. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, I ask, what is it about that name? I'm trying to figure it out. Maybe you can help me. Sometimes when you read in a scripture, sometimes you don't understand all. It doesn't appear. It appears a certain way, but it's really not that way. So the scripture that sometimes you look and you see, for instance, this is just for instance. This is not a doctrine, so don't make this up. Don't tell anybody this. But when the Bible says, in the beginning, he took the rib of the man and made a woman of the rib. Well, to me, that's a physical rib. Is that right? He took a physical rib. Maybe, just maybe, not so. Okay? Maybe not so. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying maybe not so. Because when you do a search on the word rib, it means curved out of the body. So what it's saying is, that now remember, DNA only got discovered in the late 1800s. There was no way of knowing DNA, all right? So DNA has a curve to it. I don't know if I looked it up and I conferred with a medical expert yesterday, my wife, and I asked her, so DNA is found to be the double helix, is that right? It really doesn't intertwine, it kind of goes around as a spindle, but two different parts link together, they have links in between. So that's a true thing. That's what it looks like under the microscope. How many know that God is way ahead of science? I don't know if you know that, but I'm going to tell you that they haven't figured out how to make eyes run yet, because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Now, what kind of science do you have to come up with that one? God is so far ahead of science, it doesn't matter what they saw then, and maybe he took the DNA out of the side of the man and made the woman. It's clear that medically, the woman has one less or one more, I forget how it goes, than a man and the chromosomes and all of that. So possibly, maybe it wasn't actually the physical rib. Maybe it was DNA. I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe it's not what it seemed. So too is this next verse in Matthew 28:18. This confused me a little bit because Jesus said, all power is given unto me. So when you read that, just plain as it is, all power was given. So what does that mean? Was there a time that the power was not yours? That's what it seemed. Is that right? Perhaps that's not what it actually is. But if you read it, all power is given unto me. And that's Jesus saying that. So therefore, I'm saying the power in his name, I don't think it's so much the name. I think it's the fact that what he did in that body. I want you to understand, I don't believe there's a Trinity, okay? But here's my Trinity. And you follow this verse with your outside voice. Jesus Christ the same.
Yes, sir. Today and forevermore.
There you go. That's my Trinity. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to me, how could something be given to someone that's been the same yesterday, today, and forever? But I got another Trinity for you. There are three major events that God has for us in this world. The first event was what? Creation. He created everything in the beginning. That is a major, that's the most, that's a major event of God. But the second major event of God was him coming in the flesh. The 33 and a half years that he spent on this earth, I'm telling you, it's so important that time had to stop and continue after he left. That's why we say before Christ and then after Christ. Humanity before him, but everything before him pointed towards him. Everything behind him points back at him. Everything evolves around him. He's the focal point. And I feel like what God is saying, and this is why these New Age Bibles, the word, the suffering, and his blood, and the cross, have all been almost omitted from all of them. It's got to do with his name. It's got to do with what he did while he was here in this body, and what he did for you, and what he did for me while he was present in this body, in this world, in this short space of time. God did so much. It was a major event for humanity, not just you and me, but he was able to die for humanity. And I look at that and I say, this has got to be the reason why his name, why God is saying his name is above every name, because he is the one, God is the one that I chose to leave all of what I've done, what I had, to come and suffer for you and for me and everybody in the world. So I feel like God is saying, look at what I've done for you. You know, when you first meet somebody, when you first marry, or you're thinking about marrying someone, you look at them, and when I met my wife, I was like, ooh, man, hot stuff, you know? I thought, wow, this is a good-looking woman, you know? I said, wow, she looks like a Barbie doll, you know? And I said, wow, this is fantastic. But if I walked up to her and I started speaking to her, and then she didn't go much further than that, you know, there's a lot of good-looking people out there, but I need somebody that's going to be a little more than that. So, and then even after you get married, it's not, you don't love your spouse because, well, we got married, so I guess I got to love her. You love them because of what they do constantly. You know, it's something, you know, I love my wife, but I love, wow, she's a fantastic mother. She's this, she's that. You know, it's an ongoing thing. So we don't love God because of just who he is, but his name could have been Bill or something like that. The power would have been in Bill. The fact that his name is important, but the fact that it's trying to get your attention on when he came and what he did in this body. You know, in the Old Testament, we had to know too many things about God. You know, you had, I mean, I got them all written down here, but I'm not going to go through them all, but you had to know Jehovah Shalom. You had to know Jehovah Nisi. God is our banner. Jehovah Robaka, the healer, the God that healeth. Jehovah Jireh, the God that provideth. Jehovah Roy, my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine having to go around and know all of these things? And I was reading in the book of Bishop Haywood, and he said, you can have all of these things, but to which of these things does Jesus' name not complete at all? You know, I can go down and say, oh, this situation deserves Jehovah Jireh because this situation. But all I got to say is Jesus' name, Jesus did. And I don't need anything else. It was a thing, the thing about Jesus was when he came, when he was in his ministry, he was subject to time, just like you and me. And he would go around and he would say, you know, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. And what is he talking about? My time is not yet. So I'm thinking, what is your time? I don't understand your time. The time of his suffering was not yet. And then it was plain to see that when he was, everything he did had a scriptural basis for it. Everything he did had something to do with fulfilling scripture. And the Bible says when he hung there on the cross, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, he said the word, I thirst. That had to happen that way. And they gave him vinegar. And he said, and the Bible says he received the vinegar because it was scriptural that it happened that way. And then he did something at the end of receiving the vinegar. He said, it is finished. It is finished. And he hung his head and he gave up the ghost. Don't you know what I'm talking about today is there is power in his resurrection. There's power in his death. He could not say all power is given to me until he was raised from the dead. After all things were completed, he had to say, it is finished. I've accomplished what I came here for. Now that I've done this, now you have hope. Now everyone has hope here. You know, I just thought about the things that he's done for us. Just so many little things, you know, and I thank God for him. Somebody here knows him as the Almighty God. Somebody knows him as the Anointed One. I thank God somebody knows him as Alpha and Omega. It may not just be about his name. Maybe someone knows him as the beginning and the end. Somebody might know him today as the bridegroom. Somebody might know him as the bright and the morning star. Somebody here might know him as a counselor. Somebody might know him as the chief cornerstone. Somebody here might know him as the door. Somebody here might know him as the deliverer. Somebody here might know him as eternal God. Somebody here might know him as Heavenly Father. Somebody here might know him as the first and the last. Somebody here might know him as the light of the world, as the life. Somebody here might know him as Messiah. I don't know what you know him as. Somebody here might know him as the Prince of Peace. Somebody here might know him as, oh my God, everything. He's everything. God is our all and all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God because he's more than enough for me. You know, and he's everything for me. You know, in his name, all things are done. And there was nothing made that was without him. He was the Word. He was the truth. He was the way. And my God, he's worthy of all praise. And he's worthy of all honor. Hallelujah. Lord God is so good to us. And because of what he did in that short span of time, 33 and a half years, he did it all for you. And he did it for me. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And it's about time we give him and welcome him to his party. Welcome him back into his party. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is awesome God. He's everything. And then they say, and a bag of chips after that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but somebody know him as wonderful. Wonderful. And he's worthy of all praise and worthy of all honor. And my God, he's worthy of my praise and he's worthy of all I have to give. Hallelujah. Can we all stand at this time? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But I don't know about you, but if it had not been for Jesus on my side, I know what the enemy would have done with me. He's a mind regulator.
Yes,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's a heart fixer today. Hallelujah. God is just so good.
Yes,
hallelujah. Jesus is just so good. He's a redeemer. He's a rock.
Hallelujah.
He's our salvation.
Yes.
He's everything. He's all in all to me. Yes. Hallelujah. If you're here today, we want to get the elders and praise team up and just want to thank God again for this opportunity. God is real, and it's so good to see all of you and all of your faces. And at this time, we'll give this over to Old Matthew.